He was Jesus addressing the disciples. It was during the Sermon on the Mount.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and power in our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for glorifying and honoring your name in our lives and situations. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping us in our helpless situation. Thank you for doing your will. Thank you for performing your desires in our lives on daily basis. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for helping us to be obedient to your instructions, to your word, to your teaching. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Father. Thank you for teaching us your way. Thank you for teaching us about your nature and your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the things we have learned in the Bible study classes we've been having on this platform. We thank you for how you have used those teachings to shape our lives into the kind of persons we are supposed to be as Christians. Thank you, Lord. We know that you are here once again to teach us from your heart once again. I ask that you bless everyone that will be hearing this teaching. In Jesus' name, open the heart of everyone to receive the plantation of the seed of your word. In Jesus' name, make us understand your scripture and make us understand your truth in the best way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are free. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped during the last teaching. We have been looking at a new topic titled Backsliding. Backsliding, which also means falling away from God. And we stopped at point 1B, which is being filled with own ways and desires. Being filled with own ways and desires. And we're able to finish as I said earlier, we were able to finish with point 1B last week. Now we are moving to point 1C, which is losing sight of the heavenly goal in favor of temporal gain. Don't forget that point one says danger signs that lead to losing faith. Danger signs that lead to losing faith. That is the main point we have been looking at. So we have talked on point A, point B. Now we're in point C. So all the points under this point number one, you have to see them as signs that we show that you are backsliding, or that we show that you are about to backslide. So immediately you see these signs in your life, then you should know that you are falling away, or you are falling away. Yeah, so the one we are looking at today says losing sight of the heavenly goal in favor of temporal gain. Losing sight of the heavenly goal in favor of temporal gain. That's another sign, another danger sign. Yeah, so once you start to lose sight of heavenly goal because of a temporal gain that feels that you're backsliding already. Yeah, when your focus has shifted from living and working to profit heaven to profiting yourself or to gaining material things that will perish with the earth. So when you stop focusing on things that has eternal value, things that will abide forever, and you start to focus on things that will end in this world, things that will perish with this world, that means you're backsliding already. So let us look at scriptures. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 29, 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Yeah, this verse is saying that without heavenly vision, without following the heavenly goal, yeah, because heaven gives vision or revelation. Yeah, and once we get that vision or revelation, we are meant to follow it. Yeah, so that we can prosper. Yeah, I'm not talking of earthly prosperity. I'm talking of heavenly prosperity. Yeah, but when this heavenly vision is absent, the people will start to follow their own wisdom, their own will, their own agendas, their own plans. Yeah. And then they perish. Yeah, because the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right before a man, but the end of that path, the end of that way, leads to destruction. Yeah. And we have a book that is full of heavenly vision, and that is the Bible. Yeah, we have a book that is full of revelation from heaven, truth from heaven, and that is the Bible. And I'm sure all of you have the Bible. Yeah, in fact, many of us have it on our smartphone. So the Bible is a book loaded with heavenly vision or visions and heavenly revelations and heavenly truths. Yeah, and if you follow everything God have revealed and have commanded in the Bible, you cannot perish. Yeah, and if you decide to follow your own way, then destruction lies ahead of you. Yeah, because no one who have followed the flesh, the way of the flesh, have ever succeeded. They may succeed in the earthly sense or in the according to human prescriptions or definitions of success. Those people may succeed in code, but according to heavenly definition of success, they haven't succeeded. Yeah, because some people, they think success is about having a lot of money, having beautiful houses, having beautiful cars, getting married, having children, becoming famous, or having a title, or having a leadership position in the government. Yeah, but all of those things to heaven is rubbish without the heavenly vision. Yeah, without the heavenly vision, everything you think you have accomplished here on earth is rubbish as far as God is concerned. Everything you think you have achieved without you following the heavenly vision, without you following the mind of God, everything you think you have achieved is useless to heaven. It may mean something here on earth, but it is nothing in heaven. Yeah, in fact, heaven doesn't regard all those things. Yeah. So we know what heaven regards. And when you read your Bible very well, you'll find out. Yeah. The eternal things, the things that will abide forever, those are the things that heaven regards. Yeah, the things that pertains to God's righteousness, God's nature, God's kingdom. Yeah, God's business. These are the things heaven regards. Yeah, these are the things heaven is interested in. Any of that thing outside of that, God doesn't have interest in them. Yeah. So the verse went further to say, but he that keepeth the law but He is Him. Yeah, the book of the law is the Bible. There is the law in the Old Testament. And there is another law in the New Testament, which is the law of Christ. All the things that Jesus taught us to do. Yeah. So if we keep the law, if we let the law govern our lives, our thoughts and imaginations, our choices, our decisions, then we will prosper. We'll be happy. But if we refuse to follow the law of God, then we will not be happy. Yeah, that's another way of saying it. It says, if you keep the law, happy are you. Yeah, but if you don't keep it, it means you will not be happy. Yeah. Let us look at another scripture. Malachi 3 verse 14. Malachi 3 verse 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You can see, these people that were in Israel during the time of this prophet, Malachi, they have gotten to a point in their lives where they began to think and speak that it is vain to serve God. That is, they began to speak like this. What gain is in serving God? What have we gained from serving God all these years? We have been faithful to God, though I don't know if they were faithful, but I'm just telling you the meaning of what those people were saying, or giving you examples of what I believe they were saying. Yeah, they were saying things like, all these years we have been serving God, what have we gained from Him? What have we profited? He didn't help us. He didn't bless us. He didn't change our stories. Yeah. So they concluded that serving God is just a waste of time and a waste of energy. I pity them. Well, these were many years ago. Yeah. And I'm sure many of those people have died. Even Malachi is dead. Yeah, I mean the prophet that wrote this place. So maybe I shouldn't use the word I pity them, because they're not even alive anymore. Yeah, but let me say I pity anyone that is talking like that today. Yeah, because such statements or thoughts usually provoke God to anger. Yeah. So these people, they start to lose interest in the things of God. Yeah, because they felt God haven't been faithful to them. God haven't been good to them. Yeah, and they felt they have been good to him. Yeah, let us look at that verse again. Malachi 3:14. Ye have sinned. Ye have sinned. It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Yeah, so they were saying, we haven't profited anything from keeping God's commandment. Yeah. Once you start to think like this, like these people in this verse, you should know that you are already backsliding. Don't forget, we have been looking at the danger sign that shows that you are losing it. You are losing faith. You are losing your salvation. You are losing your relationship with God. Yeah, so once you start to think that, you start to think like those people in the days of Malachi, you start to think in your heart or say with your mouth that it is vain to serve God. What have I gained all this while I have been keeping God's commandment? Once you start to talk like this, it means you are backsliding or you have backslidden. Yeah, and I've met a lot of Christians in this condition. In fact, many of them would say they don't know what is going on. Yeah, they would say, I have fasted, I have prayed, I do the work of God. I preach the gospel. I do everything that is supposed to be done. But I'm still lacking many things. I'm suffering. Yeah. In fact, some of them, the way they say those things, as a man of God, a lot of people, they bring so many cases to you. Yeah, so a lot of people bring many cases to me. And some of them, they will present the issue as if God is a liar, as if God is a scam. They will present it as if God is weak. God cannot do anything. Has never done anything good for anyone. Yeah, the way they will amplify their problems. In fact, they will even say, I fasted and fasted and fasted. You know, they are trying to impress me. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to impress me. Yeah, so that I would feel their struggle. Their struggles or feel their pains. Or maybe they don't want me to tell them now you have to fast. Yeah, maybe they don't want me to give them some fasting to do So they will make sure they mention about how much they have fasted and fasted and fasted, and yet nothing changed, and nothing changed in their lives. Yeah, and I'm very patient. I'm a very patient person. So usually I will let them finish all their talks. Yeah, I'll let them finish talking everything in their mind. Then after they have said all that is in their heart, I will now point them to the scriptures, to the word of God, and make them see that God is not a liar. God is not a failure. And God is not weak. And that God is faithful. Yeah. And sometimes I will also call their attention to things that God has been doing for them, doing in their lives, that they did not even appreciate. Things God has been doing for them that they did not even thank Him for. They weren't grateful for those things. You know, human beings, they have this attitude of ungratefulness. Yeah, most human beings are consumed by their lust and cravings, the things they are expecting. Yeah, the things they want. Yeah, and because of that, they forget what the things God have already done for them, because they are so consumed by what they wanted that God haven't yet done. So they fill up their heart, their mind with those cravings, with those lusts. Yeah. And every time they come before God, those are the things they kept on thinking about, and they kept on talking to God about. So they don't even remember to thank God for the things He has done. In fact, some of them, they felt that the things God, they have this, I don't know the English to use. They have this attitude towards the things God has done and is doing in their lives. They have this attitude of I don't know, maybe I should call it, they have this attitude of merit. Like they felt like every other thing God has done for them and have been doing in their lives, they felt they merited them. Yeah, for instance, they were able to sleep in the night and wake up the following day in good health. So, most people have this attitude of, yeah, it's a normal thing. It's what's supposed to happen to me. And yeah, so they are not even thankful for that. Yeah, they see that it's normal. If everyone sleeps at night and wake up the following day. And yeah, everyone, stand up from the bed and are able to walk normally, move everywhere. Everyone breathe in and breathe out. Everyone can hit. Everyone can hit normally. Everyone can then go to the toilet, and you know, pass out with prudom. Normally, yeah. So maybe some of you here, you also don't really thank God for those things because you feel like it's just normal. Yeah, everyone go out, everyone travel, and they come back. Yeah, as long as you are careful, you enter into a vehicle with a good driver, so everyone can move from one place to another, and do that safely without having an accident. Yeah, everyone can, you know, can do exercises, jump up and down, run, yeah, without any problem. Yeah, so maybe some of you here, you also think it's just a normal thing, and you are not even grateful for that. So you think it's just a normal thing to be able to eat, and then the food digest, and then you're able to pass out the waste products into the toilet. Or you think it's just a normal thing to drink water, and then you're able to urinate the waste product. Yeah. Well, the truth is that it's not a normal thing. Yeah. Yeah, that alone is the law. Yeah. I mean, that alone. You're sleeping and waking up every day. Yeah, you're going out and then you come back and you are safe, no accident. Yeah, it's not normal, it's a lot. Yeah, you're eating all kinds of, you know, things, all kinds of foods. Yeah, and none of those food items troubled your health. Is not normal. Yeah, you will understand that it's not normal if God can open your eyes to see the things He does for you, the things He does in your life every hour, every day. If God can open your eyes to see those things, how He has been preserving your life, how He has been delivering you from deadly attacks and from accidents, if God can open your eyes to see those things, then you will know that even those things that many people consider to be normal are not actually normal. Those things many people considered to be you know, I don't know if I should use the word free, or to be or they consider it to be things they deserve. Yeah, things they deserve. Yeah, if God opens your eyes, you'll see that we don't actually deserve them. It is a special work of mercy of God. It's not because you are so courteous, you are so careful, or because you are so smart that you are still alive today. It is because there is an operation of God, an operation of mercy that is going on here on earth to keep you safe. In fact, even the unbelievers, God is keeping them safe. They are hoping that their eyes will be opened and they will acknowledge Him appreciate Him and surrender their lives to Him. So I remember I was talking to a Christian sister who was also complaining about some sufferings, hardships, and problems in her life. I remember telling her that, have you considered the other things God has been doing in your life to sustain you? Yeah, though you said you are struggling, things are not moving, and then I was telling her that, have you considered how you've been hitting every day? Have you considered how you've been able to spend money every day? Yeah, have you considered how you've been able to survive every day? Yeah. So I was trying to point to her things that God has been doing in her life that she doesn't even pay attention to. She was so consumed by the desires in her soul. Yeah, the things she desired that God hasn't yet done. She was so consumed by that. Yeah, so when I pointed attention to those other things, yeah, she was now humbled. She was now saying, yeah, it's true, you're right. Actually, God have been helping me. God has been seeing me through. Yeah. So, the reason why many Christians fall, also has a lot to do with this blindness. Yeah, this blindness I have just talked about. There's a way Satan blindfold them from seeing and from acknowledging the things God has been doing in their lives every day. Satan always use those things that they are still expecting that God will do for them, like some single women who are so passionate about getting married. Some of them are even desperate about it. Yeah, so usually Satan will use that aspect of their lives they are so desperate and passionate about. He will use it to blindfold them from seeing the other things that God has been doing and have done in their lives. Yeah, you know, I think last Tuesday we talked a lot on idols. Yeah, so they would be so consumed by these desires till Satan used those desires to disconnect them from God. I pray Satan will not succeed in disconnecting you from God. Yeah. And I'm calling your attention to the place of thanksgiving, gratefulness for God. Yeah, don't let Satan blindfold you. Yeah, because this thing have happened to me before. Yeah, I thought God is not answering my prayers. I thought nothing is moving in my life. Nothing is working. Yeah, but I only thank God because God loves me so much. Yeah, while I was thinking those thoughts, while I was talking those rubbish, the Spirit of God now starts pointing to me the things God have done in my life and the things He always do for me on a daily basis. The Spirit of God began to point them to me. So the Spirit of God starts to count them one by one. And he went on and on, like he was almost getting to number 20, and he was still going to continue. Then I told him to stop, and I began to ask for forgiveness. He was pointing at the things God have been doing in my life. You know, that was when I know that you just being able to stand up and move your legs, move your hands, is not normal. There's something God does in you every day to make sure you are still able to stand up and move your legs and walk around. Yeah, I know you may think, oh, it's because I'm so conscious about my health. I watch what I eat. I watch what I drink. May God open your eyes. Yeah. If you know how much Satan hates you and how much he wants you dead or paralyzed and how much attacks he's sending, do you think your immune system can fight satanic attacks? Yeah, because some people, what they are conscious about is, I'm going to eat good food. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to take herbs, supplements. Yeah, I'm going to take all these good vegetables to boost my immune system. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. Yeah, but listen very well. So they tell themselves, I'm going to do all these, you know, so that I will maintain good health. Not knowing that their immune system cannot protect them from demonic attacks. From satanic attacks. Yeah, so they give credit to the immune system when they're supposed to give credit to the Lord, to Jesus. They are giving credit to their efforts towards maintaining good health when they're supposed to give credit to the Lord, who have always been keeping them in health. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit was pointing at so many things. And my eyes was opened. And from that time, I'm always grateful to God. I hope you will be grateful to God. I'm always grateful to God. Yeah, in other words, what the Spirit of God was trying to show me is that if God had failed or God refused to do the things He has always been doing in my life, then I will not even have the mind to be thinking about the other things God has not yet done. I'll probably be in the hospital battling for my life. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. Yeah, so if you have been so ungrateful, you have to repent tonight, today. You have to repent. Yeah, and you have to stop that attitude. Yeah, because if you don't stop, you will backslide eventually. And as a matter of fact, if you don't stop, the things you are expecting from God, you may never get them. Yeah, because God hates Christians that are not thankful. Yeah, He hates them. Most times they are idol worshippers. I know what I mean by idol worshippers. I'm referring to idols in their heart. Yeah, which, if you want to know more about idols in their heart, go and listen to the previous Bible study class, the one of last week. Yeah, God is not likely to bless and help ungrateful Christians, because usually what makes them ungrateful is the idols in their heart. Yeah. I pray you will be thankful to the Lord for the rest of your life on earth, in Jesus' name. So we're going to move to another scripture. Let us look at Luke 15, verse 12 to 13. Luke 15. Verse 12 to 13. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. Yeah, many of you are familiar with the story of the prodigal son. Yeah, and it was Jesus who told that story. Yeah, the man was also full of greed, yeah, or love of money. Yeah, I guess he realized that the father was very, of course, I'm sure he grew up knowing that his father has a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a lot of properties. Yeah, and he felt like he's not really enjoying himself as he should in his father's house. So he wanted to go and enjoy life. Enjoy life. Of course, we know that type of life. worldly life. Yeah, so he went to the Father, he said, give me my own share of your inheritance. I know you're going to share this property between me and my brother. Yeah, you know, usually that is supposed to be done maybe after the father have died. Yeah, they call it will. Yeah, but he was not going to even wait till that time. He wanted his own portion, his own skin. Yeah. And the father did what he asked for. And he went into a far country and wasted all those resources. He was able to enjoy life as he had planned. But to what end? Yeah, we know the end of that story. Yeah, you know the end of the story. If you don't know, go and read Luke 15 from verse 11 to the end. Yeah, Luke 15 from verse 11 to the end. Go and read it. It's the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. Yeah. So God has called us to seek after heaven, to seek after eternal life, to seek after the things above, not the things here on earth. Yeah. And God wants us to be very conscious of this calling. Yeah. It is the foundation of our calling. Yeah. We have been called to seek after, to run after the things in heaven, the things in God's kingdom. The righteousness that is there, the lifestyle that is there, the culture that is in God's kingdom. Yeah, because they have a culture in heaven. They want us to pursue after the culture in God's kingdom, the lifestyle, the nature there, the righteousness that is there. Yeah. And of course, the power that is there, the authority that is there, yeah, the strength that is there, the dominion that is there, the holiness that is there. You want us to follow after that, to pursue them. That is our calling as Christians. Yeah, not to pursue after the things here on earth. Yeah, so the moment you notice that, you are starting to pursue after the things here on earth, neglecting the things up there in God's kingdom, then you are already backsliding. Yeah. You may, you know, have a business. Yeah. Where maybe you sell things or you manufacture things. Yeah. And you may, you know, start to do well in that business or prosper in that business and then start to make a lot of money. even while you are making a lot of money. You must not run after the money. You must not think after the money. So, and that is why I always teach that every Christian, you have a vision. You have a purpose. Yeah. Every Christian should live a purpose-driven life. Yeah, because if you are not, I don't see the difference between you and unbelievers. If you don't have a vision, you don't have a purpose, then I don't see the difference between you and unbelievers. Yeah, because let's say you're making a lot of money. What's the purpose? What's the heavenly vision behind it? Or why? The question is, why are you making money? If you don't have any reason that has to do with the kingdom of God, then you are just like the unbelievers. Yeah. You wake up in the morning, you go to your place of work. Why? Why are you doing all of that? If the answer has nothing to do with heaven, then you are just like the unbelievers. Yeah. I don't know if I get to my point. Yeah, so we can't afford to pursue after the things here on earth. And if at all we are going to be so busy doing many things here on earth, it must be for heaven. It must be because of an heavenly purpose. Yeah, if at all, let's say you're going to get married, it must be because of an heavenly purpose. You're going to have children, it must be because of an heavenly purpose. So if you want to get married and then you have no heavenly purpose behind it, or heavenly purpose for it, then you're just like any other unbeliever. Yeah. You're just like any other unbeliever. Yeah, or you want to give birth to children and there's no heavenly purpose for that. So the question is, why do you want to give birth to children? Yeah, if the reason has nothing to do with heaven, then you're just like any other unbeliever. Yeah. So, we have been called to seek after the things above. That is it. To fulfill God's opposes. That is it. Yeah. That is what it means to be a Christian. I don't know if I get to my point. Yeah. So, your Christian life is all about God and His kingdom and its purpose for your life. Yeah, it's not about yourself. It's not about your will. Yeah, so that is why a wise Christian will ask God for, will have God to confirm if he or she should have anything in this world. In fact, a wise Christian should confirm with God if God wanted him or her to get married or not. Do you know that there are people that they are not supposed to get married? Yeah, because that is not how they will fulfill God's purpose. And we have examples of people like that in the Bible. Yeah, and in fact, there are some people that they're not supposed to have children. Yeah, so, but I see the generation of today's Christians as people who don't even know what the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of God is about. Yeah, we just I don't know. Maybe I should say we just create a kind of lifestyle for ourselves, and we assume that that is the life God wants us to live. Or maybe I should say we have this definition of how our success should be. Yeah, we have this definition or description of how success should be or how prosperity should be. Yeah, so we feel like if we don't have certain things, we are not doing certain things, then we can't say we are successful. If we are not doing certain things or we are not seeing or experiencing certain things, then we can't call ourselves as prosperous. Yeah, so we are the ones designing our lives. Yeah, the way we want it to be. Yeah, we are not consulting with the one who created us and who have sent us into this earth. We are not consulting with him. We are not asking him, how do you want me to live my life? What design do you have for my life? What purpose do you have for my life? Yeah, so that is why some Christians, because they don't yet have a car, they were going into depression. Yeah, some people fell sick. Because to them, you must have a car to be successful. May God have mercy on the Christians of these last days. You know, some because they've not yet given birth to children and then they want to kill themselves. They want to commit suicide. Because they feel like, you know, that is an error. And if they felt like it shows that their life is not successful, is not, and then their life is upside down. And they don't even know, maybe that is the plan of God for them. If they had humbled themselves and remove those idols from their heart, God would have shown them that everything going on in their lives was part of his plans for them. Yeah, but because they already have a definition and description of what a good life is supposed to be, what successful life is supposed to be. Yeah, so they feel like, or they felt like, the absence of certain things in their lives means God has failed them. Yeah. I hope you are not like such people. If you are, you have to repent today. Yeah. Yeah. And then don't be like the prodigal son. Be patient with God and let your heart be fixed on the things above and not on the things on earth. Yeah, usually if we are patient with God, everything we desire will be given to us. And even much more than the things we desire would be given to us. So that prodigal son in Luke 15 was not patient. Yeah, he wasn't patient. May God help you to be patient. In Jesus' name. So let's quickly look at the two scriptures remaining, then we'll round off the session. Hebrews 12, verse 16 to 17. Hebrews 12, 16 to 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Yeah. Yeah, it says, don't be a fornicator, and don't be a profane person like Esau. Yeah, profane people are people that don't give honor to holy things. People that don't give honor to spiritual things. They don't give value to it. They don't what English should I use? They don't exalted. Yeah, they don't magnify spiritual things. They don't value it. They so much downgrade spiritual things. They so much despise spiritual things. Yeah. But the truth is, whether you place value on spiritual things or not, that doesn't make the spiritual things of God valueless. Yeah, you're the one that is going to lose. The spiritual things of God will forever remain priceless. and of the greatest and highest value. Yeah, so whether you consider it valuable or not, it doesn't change the value of the spiritual things of God. Yeah, you know, the system here on earth, the financial market here on earth is controlled by the forces of demand. The forces of demand and supply. So when there is so much demand for something, the value goes up. Yeah. And when there is little demand for something, the value goes down. And sometimes, when people demonstrate high value in their minds concerning some precious stones, precious metals, it will determine the price of that metal. For instance, many people have this special value in their minds concerning gold. And many people consider gold to be so valuable. And that is why the price of gold is always, is always high. Yeah. But you take away that value from people's minds, then gold will be reduced to nothing. I don't know if you are getting my point. So the value of gold is not in the gold, it's in the minds of people. Yeah, it is because people think this is valuable. That is why that value. I'm just trying to show you how the financial system of the world works. Yeah, so let's say for some reason, everybody on earth start to think that gold has no value. Yeah, and they start to find no use for gold. Then the price will start dropping. Yeah. I'm not. I didn't do economics in the school. Yeah, so I may not be able to really explain much. But at least I know that one very well. I mean, I know what I'm talking about very well. Yeah, but the spiritual things of God is not like what we have here on earth. You know, it's not like the things on earth that their value can drop and can go up overnight. Yeah, for instance, the value of Bitcoin suddenly went up to over $100,000, for one Bitcoin. And it kind of just happened overnight. Yeah. You know, even the value of some currencies now are going up. Yeah. So, the things of God is not like that. The spiritual things in heaven is not like that. Yeah, they have these everlasting value. You know, they remain of the, you know, they remain of highest value forever. Yeah, and God doesn't care, or heaven doesn't care whether people demand or they don't. So whether people demand or desire these spiritual things or they don't, doesn't change their value. Yeah, their values remain the same forever. So the people who don't seek after the heavenly things, and the people who don't value the heavenly things, they are the ones that lose. Yeah. So like some people, they think I'm trying to force them to join my ministry. Or I'm trying to force them to join my programs. Yeah, I see if I want to gain anything from them. Yeah. So they think I'm trying to force them to, you know, to be part of those following me. Yeah. You know, but I try as much as I can to make them realize that everything I'm doing is for your own good. I'm not trying to gain anything from your life. Yeah, I'm just looking for, looking out for you. Yeah, like, I'm just trying to help you become the best version of yourself. Yeah, which is who you really are in Christ. Yeah, so if at all we gain anything, that gain is not going to come from you. It's going to come from God, who has called me to do what I'm doing. Yeah, and in fact, I believe I will gain something when you eventually make it to heaven. Yeah, when your soul eventually make heaven. Yeah, so that is why I don't force people to join our programs. The best I can do is to announce, okay, we are going to have this meeting at this time. That's all. And if I get on the platform and then maybe I just see 2-3 people, or even if it is one person that I see, I will do what I can. Yeah, and because I know that what I have is real. Yeah, because it has changed my own life. Yeah, and I know that it can change the lives of everyone in the world. Yeah, so if some people feel like they don't need it, it's nothing to them. I'm going to keep what I have. Yeah, I'm going to keep it from them. Yeah, they don't know the value, but I know the value. Yeah, so I don't need them to determine the value of what I have. Yeah, they are not the one that will determine the value of what I have in Christ, what I have inherited, what I have possessed in Christ. And I'm talking of spiritual things. So they don't need to tell me the value. I know the value. So, and if they think that thing that I'm trying to introduce to them and convince them to also have, if they think it's useless, it's of no value, I don't care, I'll just withdraw it from them and keep it. So if maybe in the near future, God opened their eyes, I now feel like, oh, you were trying to show me something. I'm serious now. Tell me about God. Tell me about God's kingdom. Tell me how I should live my life. Then I will now show it to them. So I realized that many pastors, they have allowed the people to water down the value of spiritual things. Yeah. And some of them, you know, through greed and love of money, they allowed people the value spiritual things that God have given them to be custodians of. I mean, God made them the custodians of these heavenly things, and they just spoiled it like Esau. They became profane. Yeah, to the point that they are now selling spiritual things for money. You know, by the time you start to think you can sell spiritual things for money, you are vaccinated. Yeah, at that point, you are gone. Yeah, things that are priceless. And something is telling you that you can start to sell it for money. And then you're obeying or following that voice that is telling you that, then you are gone. You are backslidden. Yeah. So the people of the world, they now consider the spiritual things to be, you know, to be so cheap and to be so common. Yeah. And to be of no value. Yeah, because some of these pastors have, you know, they have brought down the value of the things in God's kingdom through their greed. Yeah. I pray that God bring revival into his church in Jesus' name. Yeah. Spiritual things is not for sale. I will never be for sale. Yeah. Because they are priceless. Let us continue. The last scripture we're going to be looking at, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Yeah. Before this, verse 9, Apostle Peter was talking about, you know, having faith and then adding virtue to your faith. He was talking about many spiritual things. He was talking about faith, he was talking about virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. was talking about brotherly kindness, was talking about charity. Yeah, and then in verse 9, he said, anyone that lack those things you have mentioned, which are spiritual and heavenly things, you know, things of eternal value, things that are priceless. He was saying, anyone that lacks those things is blind and cannot see afar off. Yeah, I pray you will not lack those things. In Jesus' name. One thing I have realized is that you can't grow spiritually if you don't give up many things in this world. The price to know Jesus face to face, one on one, or path to path, is to give up everything, surrender everything, lay down everything. And you can't deceive yourself. And you can't deceive God when it comes to this matter. You know when you have laid down everything. You will know when you have laid down everything. And you will know when you have not. For instance, I knew when I have not laid down everything to embrace Jesus, to follow Jesus. And I knew when I laid down everything. Yeah. So this is not something you just say with your mouth. Yeah. You will know when you have crucified yourself, crucified your lust, your pride, your cravings, you know, your carnal desires. You will know when you have done that. Yeah, you will know. And you will know when you have not done that. You will know when you have crucified worldliness, your attachment, your connection with the things of the world. You will know when you have cut them off, and you know when you have not. You will know when you have cut off all those wrong attitudes and habits in your life. So these things, they are very, very obvious. Yeah. So when we say surrender home, You will know if you have surrendered all. And you will know if you have not. Yeah. And you can't deceive yourself. And you can't deceive God. Yeah, you will know when there's still something binding you to the world. When there's still something of the world in you that is still binding you together with the world system and with the darkness in the world, that is still pulling you into the world. You will know. And you will know when that thing is gone, when you have cut it off, you have laid it down at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, so stop wasting your time and stop deceiving yourself. If it is heaven you want, do the necessary and run after heaven. Yeah. And if you don't want heaven, you don't want God's kingdom, you don't want spiritual growth, you don't want spiritual things, Yeah, then stop pretending that you want them. Yeah, you see, it is well. I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Yeah. Questions based on this teaching, and if you have questions based on any other things that there are spiritual things, yeah, you can also ask. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have shown us from your scriptures in this teaching. Thank you for making us to understand the danger signs to watch out for, so that we don't backslide. Thank you, Father, for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I know there are people here that love you so much, and they want to really please you and serve you and do your will and be very close to you. I'm asking that you help them to have the desire that is in their heart. In Jesus' name, help them to have this spiritual desire. Help them to have the closeness they are desiring to have with you. Oh Lord, help them to have the closeness in Jesus' name. I pray for every one of you that the traps Satan have sent before you. Yes, the traps the kingdom of darkness have set before you to bring you down into sin, into darkness, into slavery, to demons, to sin, to hell. I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost destroy those traps right now. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that your walk with God shall become more glorious and more powerful. Your relationship with God, your relationship with heaven, with God's kingdom, shall become full of victories and shall become full of divine visitations and encounters in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know that you have answered these prayers. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.